Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Later on, a gentleman who experienced a, well, let's just call it what it is, what he thought was a supernatural phenomenon. His son is a very religious, very spiritual young man, and apparently this young man was affected by this phenomenon over the skies of his home in Lancaster, California. We'll talk to him later on. We have on the line with us now Lloyd Bonafide from the Hermitium, a network of people concerned with the well-being of our youth in America. And Mr. Bonafide, welcome to our program. I know you're at a fundraiser tonight, right?
Yes, I am, Phil. We're raising money for the Hermitium and also raising money for different projects that we have. And the Hermitium has been together for the last 7 years in trying to get our young people on track and make sure they don't fall under the under bad influences. And we have had some tests, and we've had some successes, we've had some failures. And I wanted to speak with you this evening and reach out to your listeners and to your viewers tonight and have them understand what our work is and what we're up against.
All right. Now, you do a lot of different things, right, in trying to help young. You sponsor dances. You sponsor fundraisers of all kinds. You're involved in the music business, right?
Yes, Phil. I, as a matter of fact, wrote a song that I was very excited about, and use the contacts that we have to try to present this to a band at the Geffen Records. We were not successful, and it was because of an individual who is really wants to stop our work. And I think you're familiar with that, with your group. My friend's house and the work that they do.
My
friend's place
is a place that has a lot of homeless kids, and they sometimes the neighborhood doesn't like it.
Well, what happened was this, Phil. I wrote a song called, and it's a protest song. The best way I can describe it is a protest song. I know they don't use that vernacular, but it's
A song of commentary.
Yes, it is. It comments on young people today, and the song is called I Got a Boogie, and we wanted to do a demo tape and present this to the man at Geffen Record Company through a friend of mine, Jim Butterworth, who is also a very dear neighbor of mine. It was my very unfortunate experience to ask of Mr. Butterworth, would he present this demo tape? And it's a demo tape, which is, you're familiar, Phil, you record the song.
Yeah, it's a demonstration of the song, and then the record company hears it, decide whether they want to record it.
Yes, sir, and I said to Mr. Butterworth, if you'd give this to your grand, and his grandson works at the Geffen Record Company, and if you'd give this to him, we would like to get it recorded. And he said he would not do it. And
because he is not in favor of your group's work.
Because he's not in favor of young people being helped. And I'll tell you what he said to me. He said, I'm not going to help you out. I said, why? He said, because my wife was very ill, and his wife, who was a very dear friend of ours, Peggy, died last year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was very sad. And I went to his home, and my wife, Carol, went to his home, and we brought soup and so forth. And I had gone online, and I had looked up the names of five reputable crematoriums or cremation centers, and I gave him these names. And he reacted violently and said he would not help me with this, and he told me subsequent to that. And this is an example of people who will not help young people.
Well, this man was upset because was his wife still alive?
Well, Mr. Henry, his wife was very ill, and I wanted to do what I could for Jim. And I found the names of five reputable crematoriums. And he became agitated. He became physically agitated. And I said, would you give the demo tape? And he said, no, I will not. I am asking you, and I would ask your viewers, what is more important than our youth? And what's more important than our kids? His wife, God rest her soul, has died. But our youth are alive. And why won't he help me? And to that end, I contacted the district attorney of the county of Los Angeles to see if I could get him compelled to
turn your demo tape over to, this is a grandson that works for Geffen.
Yes, his grandson works for the Geffen Record Company, yes.
Okay. This man was obviously insulted by you somehow when you said that I'm looking up crematoriums. His wife's still alive, you know?
Well, he said to me that, and I said, Jim, I'm a dear friend. I was doing what I could. And
well, when your wife approaches with soup or stew, that's one thing. When you say, here are the names of some crematoriums, was that for him to...
Mr. Henry, there's been a great controversy about these crematoriums, and I wanted to find something reputable so that when he did, God rest her soul, inter her ashes, you know, you heard the story in Georgia.
Yeah, but the woman was still alive, and the man still had hope that this woman would live. Yeah, but however, I don't know the answer to your question. I'm going to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686, and then you're going to give me an example of the song.
Well, I'm not a singer, but I want to give you an example of the song, yes.
All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. I'm not sure, though, what you are asking me or my audience.
Well, I'm not really asking. I'm giving you this opinion. Because I said to him, it's better to just have her die and have the remains put into a cremation center area. He won't give my tape to his grandson, who has an inn at Geffen Record Company.
All right.
Now, here's the song.
I wanted you to sing a few bars.
I'm not a professional. The song is called I've Got a Boogie, and the song is a protest song. And what you'll hear is the lyrics where a young person says, I got a boogie, but you'll find out that what he's really saying is he's wasting his life. I got a boogie all night. I got a boogie all day. I got a boogie my life away. And then it goes into, there's a chord change, but that's not important. And it says, I got a boogie today. I got a boogie at night. I got a boogie, and I know that isn't right, you know? Now, the reason why...
You got a pretty nice voice.
Well, thank you, but the reason why... The song is saying, I got a boogie, but you can hear the person saying, but it's not right, and I'm boogieing my life away. Now, the man at Geffen Record Company has not been allowed to hear this because Jim Butterworth, who has been a dear friend, would rather stand in the way of this project because I was trying to do the best I could by recommending a crematorium.
All right, you want this record released by Geffen?
We want them to hear it. We've got the demo tape, which I could play a piece of it for you later, if you'd like.
All right. Well, I got a general idea.
But more than anything else, Phil, we want to promote the well-being of our young people. And this record will be a record that I think young people will like. But Mr. Butterworth won't allow this, and I'm using his name publicly.
Well, you understand that by using this man's name publicly, you put yourself at risk of a lawsuit?
Mr. Henry, I'm perfectly fine with that because we're always at a risk of a lawsuit.
I mean, you're not indemnified by being on my show.
I understand that, sir. But he could have given this to his grandson at Geffen Record Company, but instead, and if you'll pardon my language... He's got a hard-on for me because I said, here's a place where your wife can be cremated.
And well, it's understandable since the woman was alive at the time.
Yes, but does that stand in the way of making a wonderful contribution to our youth?
All right. That's a question. That's a better question, and we'll get into that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Lloyd Bonafide with the Hermitium, which is a loose network of people committed to youth. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay. I don't have any comment other than I think that this man was not entirely wrong to be trying to help his friend find a crematorium, you know.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And I just don't think you should feel bad about that at all. And if people can't understand that, you know, I just wouldn't worry about it. And as far as everything else goes, somebody will come along that can get your information out to help the youth and your music or whatever it is. But I hope that I have a friend that would be willing to do that. for me.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right, well, hold on, and we'll get your number,
you all,
Lisa.
Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
You know what we used to do with guys like you? We'd leave your butt up with a flower in it.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Lloyd Bonafide joins me from the Hermitium. And Lloyd, this is a group you call people interested in the youth.
Phil, we're desperately interested in our young people. We've got so many at risk, and they are involved in a great many unhealthy pursuits. They're involved in, I don't know if you know the latest that these young kids are involved in, literally strangling each other, or they choke each other with a bath towel or something to get high that way. This is, and so the song is called "I Got a Boogie to Get Through to Them," about how they're wasting their lives. And
well, that's like that partial asphyxiation thing.
I don't know what it's called, but you know, you got, not only are they sitting around taking drugs, they're sitting around and strangling each other. And so the song, "I Got a Boogie," which I recognize has a rather antiquated name, but the theme, the message is good. And it goes, "I got a boogie all night, I got a boogie at night, I got a boogie until it's light." And then it goes, "I got a boogie in the day, I got a boogie, say hey, I got a boogie, and that's not okay." And the reason why we're saying it's not okay is because you can boogie, if you pardon my language, you can boogie your ass off and you'll still wake up the same loser that you went to bed as. And I'm sorry about Jim's wife, but I tried to do the best I could by recommending the most efficient way of dealing with this horror of her death, and that was, here is the name of a crematorium.
But the man had hope that his wife was going to live. The man had hope that
she was dying of a very insidious cancer that was eating their guts out. And she was on life support. And this man is sitting there, "Oh, you know, the doctor has a new medicine. She'll be fine next week." And I remember saying, yeah, okay. You know, what do you say to a man like that?
You just be a friend. I'm not saying you did anything wrong, but it's I understand why he doesn't want to help you now.
I don't, and I don't see, you obviously don't work with young people.
All right, let me take a phone call. I'll give our number out, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Doug. Doug, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say in response to the gentleman there that I've dealt with youth as a boot camp instructor for teenage boot camp. So I have a passion for youth, and I understand where he's coming from. But on the other side of the spectrum there, talking about his friend.
What do you mean by boot camp? What is that?
Teenage boot camp. The boot camp where troubled teenagers go.
Is that administered by law enforcement?
Certainly.
Well, I don't know. What are you talking about?
The reason that I called wasn't...
Do you really work at a boot... See, I know kids, and I also I know people who try to say they work with kids, but don't, you know?
Well, are you saying this guy doesn't?
Well, he doesn't seem to know what he's... What is a boot camp? I asked him a question.
What is a...
Well, what do you mean? Did the man not tell you?
I asked him, is it administered by law enforcement?
Well, if these are troubled kids, are they in trouble with the law, Doug?
Yes.
So who administers it?
It's a state-run program.
All right, go ahead.
Well, you may be satisfied, but I'm not.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, that part of my comment was irrelevant anyway. Basically, what I was calling about was to give my opinion about the other side of the spectrum there, where he said, made the comment about the guy's wife, being still alive, and then...
Well, the woman is still, she might as well have had leprosy, and he's sitting there saying, "Oh, it's just a blemish." And I'm saying,
the problem that I have is that if it were my wife, I love her dearly. I mean, I'm in love with that brown-eyed girl. No matter what happened to her, as long as she's still alive, I could not, for the life of me, think of somebody coming and saying, "Well, here's a place you can have her burned or buried." You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't understand. If you care about the youth,
I understand where your heart was. Your heart was in the right place.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But your heart was in the right place. There's no doubt about that.
Do you care about the young people of our country, though, is my question, you see.
And well, my point here is that this individual certainly has every right to his emotional feelings.
That's a point. Yeah, that's a point that we're not looking at here, Mr. Bonafide.
Well, with all due respect, what you gentlemen aren't looking at is I have a desperate need to get this record into Geffen Record Company, and all he had to do was give it to his grandson, Duke, who works over there in the, they call it the A&R department. And I
said, certainly not obligated to do nothing like that.
Not obligated. My wife brought stew while his wife was still, you know, eating hard foods.
So your motive of the stew then was not to make people feel better. Your motive was to try to soften them up, take the
No, sir. I had no idea at the time that we were going to do I Got a Boogie. I sat down and in collaboration with George Seward, who is a neighbor up near the Thrifty, we did the song. Now, and I said to Jim, and here's another thing. Are you a veteran, sir? Because I'm a veteran.
Yes, sir, I am.
Armed Forces. All right. Now, this guy,
I'm a Vietnam veteran. Yes, sir.
God bless you. I served in Korea with the United States Navy. Now,
well, thank you for serving.
And yourself. Now, this guy Butterworth, though, was in the United States Army in the 50s, and they didn't do anything more than sit over in Germany and polish missiles. And this guy...
Sure. Well, wait a minute. What are you saying
that's
here?
Say, take this record over to that grandson of his, who's one of these goth guys, and get the record made. But no, he's got a hard on for me because I said, here's a good place where you can take it.
Well, rightfully so. You have to look at it from his perspective, don't
take
you think?
Take it when it dies. Yeah. All right, Doug, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Take it when it dies?
I meant to say Peggy. Take Peggy when she dies. To a very reputable crematorium.
All right. Well, you heard what that man said, and I would have to agree with him. If my wife is sick, a girl that I love very much, any man, any woman who has a partner, a mate, a husband, wife, and they're sick, you don't want to think of them dying. You don't want...
Even when they're laying there, and they're not... Even when the only sound that comes from them isn't from them, it's from a machine that monitors... the breathing in the heart. Is it?
Yes, even if they're on some kind of life support, yeah.
And, Mr. Henry, my further question for you then would be, is it more important to think about something that is no more than a vegetable than the young people of America who must hear this song? I Got a Boogie is a song that will coagulate the intention. Here's a lyric that we did.
Wait a minute. I've heard the song, and it's well intentioned. But the fact is, yeah, it's even more important than that.
Well, there's the problem. Most people only care about themselves, not about our kids. You work with my friend's place, and I got a boogie today. I got a boogie, okay. I got a boogie, and that's not okay. You see, so he recognizes immediately it's not okay.
To party and to...
Yes, and to live the life to live the life of a loser. And there's a lot of kids out there are losers.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Mr. Lloyd Bonafide joins us from the Hermitium. That song, by the way, I didn't want to say it. It's just, forget it. But he wants to get some kind of recording deal with Geffen to get the record out. And the man who's the contact at the record company is the grandson of a neighbor of his who won't pass the music along because when that neighbor's wife was laying dying, Lloyd, thinking he was doing a good job, you know, doing a good favor, called the guy up and gave him the name of 5 reputable crematoriums. Sorry, I'm it's not right. I shouldn't laugh at that, but good Lord. You know, your wife's sick? Yeah. Let me give you the number of a place that, you know, cremates people. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You're a butt log with legs.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is
right.
Back.
Hold on for a minute, Lloyd. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Lloyd Bonafide with a group call. What does the Hermitium mean?
It's a name given to the networking, sort of a network of think tankers who want to, you know, work with our youth. And the hermetium is an ancient Greek term that means, you know, school or a place of learning. But let me get back, if I could.
Because you and I were talking during the break. A song, especially a song that's going to the, a record company about, you know, kids boogieing, it needs to be, obviously, something the record company thinks is saleable. Now, you have written this song, I Got a Boogie, which you say is actually a protest against boogieing.
Well, it's a protest against kids wasting their time. And let me explain something, Mr. Henry. You know, I have a great rapport with kids. I know what they like. I know how they think. I know the different styles of music that they enjoy. We have different dances, and the kids come to all of them. And I think a lot of these guys who work in many of the adults I speak with, if not all of them, don't know kids. They may have kids, but... And when I come up with a song like I Got a Boogie, or when we did I Got a Rock, it gets a few of them a little hot under the collar because you're bringing up a subject they'd rather not talk about, which is kids, you know. And so the other thing is it's a song that has rhythm. And
I got to tell you something. I heard the song as you sang it to me.
Yes.
I mean, you're saying you're not going to sing it.
No, I'm not going to sing it. We're going to have a guy, a kid we know, who's a singer. He's tremendous, and he's going to sing I Got a Boogie. And it goes, see, I got a boogie. You know, it already starts out with a nice approach, and then you hit him with the truth. I got a boogie all night. I got a boogie, and that ain't right. And you hit him with the truth about boogieing, which it's not okay. See? And, boy, I tell you, Phil, it never ceases to amaze me. When I talk to adults, I say I work with kids. They look at you like you're crazy because most adults are embarrassed that they're not young any longer.
Do you think that's it, really?
Oh, yeah.
You think that they don't want to work with teenagers?
Oh, yeah. Most adults don't want to work with teenagers because they're embarrassed that they're going to look stupid, that they're going to look lame, as the kids say. And so they just stay away from. Most adults want to have little tiny baby kids to talk to and that kind of a thing. But I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about boogieing and the song and lame adults.
Yes, most adults don't understand kids. Boy, that guy Butterworth. See, if I'd said, "Oh, okay, here's a hot apple pie." At a dirty magazine, I bet you he would have been all over me like stink on you know what. But because I told him the truth, Jim, your wife is nothing more than a thing laying on a cot. Here is a crematorium. Pull the plug, get a bag or whatever they get, take it down, and they do a very beautiful urn. And within, I think, 48 hours, they deliver it back to you in a with the box and the urn. You've got to empty the ashes into the urn. And then you put it there, and you'll always have it there, see?
Oh, come on, man. You can't honestly believe...
I saw my buddies die in Korea.
All right, I understand.
I saw death, Mr. Henry, okay? You got a wife that's laying there dead? Stick it in a bag and cook it. I got kids to worry about.
All right, Lloyd. I don't want to tell you that you're a Navy veteran. Great, good for you. Stick it in a bag and cook it. And the other thing that I want to tell you is, you're right. Most adults probably don't want to have anything to do with teenagers because they don't want to look stupid. Because most teenagers would probably think they do. But forcing a song called "I Got a Boogie" down the throat of Geffen Records because Jim Butterworth's son works there or grandson. And not understanding he doesn't want to help you after you said, here's five reputable crematoriums. You got to be dreaming, man. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Later on tonight, we're going to be talking with a guy whose son is the leader of a church, a new kind of church. And we'll get into it when we talk to this man later on tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, you want to know where I live? 123 Ashkick Street.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Mr. Bonafide, there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, we're going to move on, sir. I thank you very much.
Hold on for a minute. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you eating something?
I'm sorry?
Are you eating?
Yeah, I'm actually having a piece of pizza. I didn't have any dinner tonight. And we're going to move on to it.
So I'm here, and I am fighting for the lives of young people, and you're eating pizza? Was I given to understand that...
Oh, look, I had you on. You talked all about your song, I Got a Boogie. And
Well, you're going to blow that off like that's nothing?
Nothing. I mean, I'm not blowing it off.
I wanted to take phone calls from more people.
Well, that's still... There's no more people to talk to.
Beg pardon?
There's no more people to talk to. Nobody wants to talk to you.
You got to be putting me on.
No, I'm not, man. I got to move on now.
I come on a radio program that's nationally syndicated, and you're eating pizza, and you're blowing me off for what? What are you going to do?
It's none of your business. You're my guest. I'm saying goodbye. And
I believe it is my business because I came on to talk about the well-being of our young people. I got Butterworth down the street who can't even... He licks a gift horse in the mouth when I gave him the gift certificate to the... I'm sorry.
Jesus, dude.
I beg your pardon, but I have acid reflux. Oh, man. Oh, it burns. Oh, God, it burns.
All right, sir, maybe you ought to get yourself some Metamucil or something, or Gaviscon.
I don't take that pussy juice.
All right, get out of here, man. I'm going to go to our flashback. Where's all the callers? Yeah, they're going to be pouring in on that one, man. I got a boogie. Dear Phil, here is one from one of our soldiers. Phil, I'm a soldier in the United States Army, a member of the 3rd Infantry Division stationed on Hunter Army Airfield. I'd like to make my request. It'd be a bit you had with Doug Danger, and he was talking about the great smokeout and how it's a risk to come up to him and ask him to put his cigarette out because he's a gay man and a gay journalist. Thanks, Jesse Kalk. 31D soldier. All right, dude. And, you know, members of the armed forces who actually can prove they're in the armed forces get free backstage passes from the Phil Hendry Show. So if you have a member of your family who is serving in the military in any capacity, we award a free backstage pass to all members of our military, which naturally, of course, you know, if you call in and claim you're, you know, you got to prove it. And I don't know how we quite go through that process, but Michelle's got to figure it out. Anyway, here you go, Jesse. This is Doug Danger and the Great Smokeout.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, pal. You know what? I'll look you in the eyeball. I don't care if you're gay or if you're not gay. Hey, you're very disrespectful for woman. I'm a man.
I'm smoking a cigarette. I get to smoke a cigarette, okay? It's not illegal to smoke a cigarette in a public place.
I don't care.
Where it's not
prohibited. I'm not saying that.
All right?
I'm not saying that. You're over here talking to women. I'm a man. I weigh 265 pounds. And I'll bust you right in the damn mouth.
All right.
How's that?
Okay, so you're 265 pounds of donut oil. Good for you.
You think I'm doing it all? I think I'm throwing it off.
You sound like a long, cool drink of water to me, buddy.
Well, now, here's what I'm...
All right, gentlemen.
No, wait, here's the thing. I'm smoking a cigarette in a perfectly legal place. Up comes Cowboy Billy here, and he says to me, put it out. I say, hey, I'm gay. You going to tell me to put it out now? And he says, yeah. And then I say,
I don't care if you're gay.
Eyeball to eyeball with me, man. He'll back off.
I don't care if you're... What's it got to do with you being gay?
You know what, I can hear...
You know what you are? You're hiding. You're like all these other people want to hide behind sexuality.
Hey, look.
And we're all supposed to back off.
Hey, look. You telling me that you don't have a cruller lodged in your throat right now, man? I can hear a glazed donut lodged in your esophagus.
What?
All right.
Look, I'm gay.
You something.
You know I'm gay?
I don't care if you're gay or not.
But do you know I'm gay?
My wife's pregnant, and if my wife's pregnant and you're smoking a cigarette... What the hell are you doing, taking phone calls on a talk show?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a little conversation going here instead of being yelled at here by Cowboy Billy and his pregnant wife. And what you doing bringing another kid into the world anyway before you can hardly afford the ones you got? Now, the thing...
Hold on for a minute. All of this is... All of this is personal stuff, okay?
You don't know me, number one.
How's your wife going to get pregnant with her belly in the way?
Well, let me ask you a question, jerk. You know what? I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm glad you're gay. You know why? Because you can't...
Turn off the phone, will you?
Species.
What?
You can't perpetuate your species. I'm glad you're gay, because you can't have any kids that's going to act like you.
And it's too bad. We might be able to bring some bright people into this world instead of just one more kid's going to be sailing chain-link fence for a living.
I'll tell you what, I've listened to a lot of talk shows in my life, but
I've
never been so mad to call one up like this.
Oh, bullcrap. You'll get over it, man.
You know what? Told a lady before me, you're going to kick her teeth in.
Hey, she comes up to me. She comes up to me and calls me a faggot. I'll kick her ass around the block for drill and her husband, too. Then I'll knock down the back door, kick her Doberman pincher in the teeth, and have her cook me an omelet.
Calm down. You're going to stroke out and spit up
your donuts.
You're a big man on the phone,
okay,
brother.
Guys.
I can tell you're one of those big men on the phone, but face to face with your little homo eyes.
Hey, dude.
If I walked up to you, I guarantee you'd put that cigarette out.
Hey, let me tell you what.
I'd stuff it up your nose.
Hey, you know what? That's big talk, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I got the gay eye. You want to look me in the gay eye?
I'll poke your damn gay eye out.
All right, look at that. Guys, you know what this is? This is nothing more than a fist fight, okay? This is a bar fight you guys are engaged in.
This guy said to me.
He's got no respect for people.
What are you talking about? This lady called me faggot? Are you kidding me, man? I would kick her ass.
Let me ask you something. If the shoe fits, wear it.
Hey, tell me if the shoe fits here. Now, let me ask you something. The first sexual experience you had, was with it a heifer or was it a goat?
I'm not even going to dignify that remark.
Dignify that with a remark? Look, man, I'm sorry if I'm insulting your girlfriends, okay? But
it's not my girlfriend.
Right.
It's my wife, you idiot.
That's the first sexual experience you had.
And what are you doing it with? You must be doing it with a dog.
Not a dog, a human being. Okay, look at man. Cows are for milking and making steaks out of, not for making love to.
I wish to God you come to Alabama and you come put blow smoke in my face and find out what's going
to
happen.
Now, why would I want to come to Alabama other than to drive through on the way to Atlanta?
All right.
You're right. We don't want you here. You're probably in damn San Francisco where you belong.
No, I'm in Los Angeles, okay?
Well,
the only reason why I'd go through Alabama is to get to Miami.
And I am eating pizza. Forgive me. All right, there you go. That is by request of... I figure some dude in the Army would request that. That's Doug Danger in the Great Smokeout, where he would go eyeball to eyeball with you if you told him to put his cigarette out. By the way, I think it was yesterday, the day before, something like that. The city of Calabasas out here in California, maybe you saw it in the Drudge Report. It's been all the news. The city of Calabasas out here in the west end of the Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley, has outlawed smoking. And, this is their trip. They're outlawing it. The provisos in this thing are the most asinine you've ever heard in your life. You can still smoke so long as you're not near anybody. What that means, I don't know. But you can be told to put the cigarette out if you're near somebody. You can smoke in your home unless it's in a multifamily residence like an apartment, then you can't smoke there. You may smoke where there are designated smoking areas, but those have to be placed at least 25 to 30 feet away from people, I think. The other thing about this ordinance is that the hotels in Calabasas have to only have 20% smoking rooms. You know, all the rooms of the hotel, only 20% can be smoking rooms. And I forget what else, but the whole thing is the most unenforceable, asinine ego trip that I've ever heard of in my life. It's one massive ego trip that the little city council is on out there, because the mayor out there is some guy that used to be somebody, and now he's down there in Calabasas, and, you know, he's going from the Starbucks over to the Jamba Juice, and then he goes over to the realtor office and telling everybody how important he is. I think his name is something like Tad or... You know, some name that, of you know, the kind of name where you just want to clock a guy just for his name. What's your name? Tad. Really, I hate to do this, but boom, you know. Mayor Tad has issued a proclamation. There's no smoking in Calabasas. I will pay you. Let's see, what could we do here, man? I'll give you $100. I'll give you $100 from the Phil Hendry Party. What do they call it in the old days of radio? Prize fund. How about that? The cash box. I'll give you $100 from the Phil Hendry cash box prize fund. If you take a photograph of yourself smoking a big fat cigar at an identifiable Calabasas, you know, the mayor's office, right in front of the mayor's office. You got $100. You send me a picture of yourself smoking a big fat, stinking, rum-soaked, homeless man cigar, Okay, and maybe you got a hope, and it would be cool as if you had hobo clothing on and a, like a little thing on a knapsack, just puffing that thing right in front of City Hall. I would love it. And I'll pay you $100. Now, that's my promise to you from the Phil Hendry Show, your more music station. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
That tears it.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up next hour, Mr. Robert Roberti, who is on the phone right now. We will talk a little bit more with Mr. Roberti about the experience that he and his family had, the run-in with the authorities that his son ultimately had to endure. And we will be talking to him next hour. How is your family doing right now, though, Mr. Roberti?
Everyone is doing very well as can be expected, Phil. And my son, Eric, is a believer in his faith, and he is a very devout young boy. And I think we're all going to come through this as much better people, but it was a terribly trying time, and we do want to thank everyone that contacted us for their cards and their phone calls.
All right, well, we'll be back to talk more with you. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.